This morning we are in Acts chapter 2. We're finishing the sermon series called Quit Church. And if you haven't been with us for the last 6 weeks or haven't watched online, you may not understand why we called it Quit Church. We're not talking about quitting church. We're talking about quitting church as usual. I fear that a lot of times, and the reason that I wanted to start the year off with this sermon series is that a lot of times I think we just treat church as a box to check. And we come to church on Sunday morning and we put on our smiling face and then we leave and we don't see anybody or talk to anybody for the rest of the week. We don't care about anything else that goes on in the church body. We're here on Sunday morning, we do our thing and we're done. And I want us to quit that kind of church. I want us to be the church that God has called us to be. And God hasn't called us to come and sit on a pew on Sunday morning. If you've got breath, God's not done with you. So if there's anybody here who said, well, I've pulled my time, I've done my time, I don't want to do anything else, God's got other plans for you. We need to come together. We need to do what we are called to do. And if we don't, there won't be any younger people to come in and take your place.
Amen.
And then you'll never be able to retire. You'll have to work until God calls you home. Amen. And then when God calls you home, God's going to call the church home because there's nobody here to keep the church going. So we need to get out of this Sunday morning routine and begin to view church as what it really is. So I encourage you, I'm not going to preach all previous 5 sermons at you before we get into this 6th one, but I encourage you to go back and watch them. They're all online. You can watch them if you need refreshers. But we need to be the church that God has called us to be. And so this morning we're going to finish this series, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 46. And again, if you are able, I'm going to ask that you would stand with us in honor of the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Father, as we look at your word this morning, as we look at the early church and see what it is that we need to pattern ourselves after. Lord, we're in a different culture, in a different context, but Lord, the church is the same. So God, help us to understand what the church is and how to be the church that you would have us to be according to your word. So speak to us now. And Lord, as I prayed earlier with our deacons, I pray that if there's anything in this room that is going to cause misunderstanding or keep us from viewing what it is you would have us to view, Lord, any spirit other than your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would cast that out of this place right now in the name of Jesus, and that your spirit would move freely and speak to us clearly during this time in your word. Thank you that your word promises to never return void. And so, Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I read a story this week about a pastor who went on a mission trip to Romania. And the mission trip that he was there to do was with an organization or a ministry that rescued abandoned babies. And they could be abandoned for one or two reasons. One, the parents just didn't want the baby, so they abandoned it. or two, the parents just were so poor, they could not afford to keep the baby, so they would take it to this ministry and give them the baby to take care of. So that's the ministry that he's working with. He enters into this one room that was at the hospital. There are 10 babies that are being taken care of at that time. And the leader of the ministry goes to the pastor and he says, 5 of these babies have been completely abandoned. 5 of these babies, their parents visit them regularly. But they're here because they just can't afford to feed and to take care of their child. I want you to walk into that room. I want you to look at those babies. And I want you to come back and tell me if you know the difference. He did. Went through the room, interacted with the babies. And when he was done, this pastor said he learned something about how God created us. Because the babies that were not completely abandoned, that had their family come and love on them and spend time with them, they would make eye contact with him. They would smile really big. They would play and laugh with him. But the babies that were abandoned completely seemed fatigued. They didn't make eye contact. They didn't smile. And they just seemed lifeless. And he said, I could physically see for the first time the need that we as people have for each other. It's how God created us. And it applies not just to us as people, but to us as a church. And this is why we say that God doesn't just want us to attend church. He wants us to belong. He doesn't want us to just attend church. He wants us to belong. So let's flesh that thought out a little bit. As we saw in what the pastor experienced in Romania, God designed us for genuine relationships. We need connection. We need relationship. We need community with each other. It is how we are designed. That's how we are wired. And we actually cut short God's purpose for us and our design for our life when we limit ourselves to shallow and safe distance relationships. So to the, hey, good morning, good to see you. How are you? I'm doing good. I'm doing good too. And that's it. When we have that shallow, surface-level relationship, we're shortcutting God's purpose and design for our life. A big word for us as Baptists is fellowship, right? What goes along with fellowship as Baptists?
Eating,
food, right? We cannot fellowship with each other without food. And that's a good thing, right? Join us for food and fellowship, because apparently we can't fellowship without it. But fellowship doesn't happen when we show up barely on time for church, hang out for just a few minutes afterward, head to our cars, drive home, and then do it again next Sunday. The people that you see in passing once a week, we're going to call them church friends. You have church friends. Well, I see them at church. I talk to them at church. But I don't have any other contact or fellowship with them throughout the week. And the title of this sermon indicates that we need to quit our church friends, because the relationship we have with them can hardly be called fellowship in the biblical sense. I can't have fellowship with somebody that I only see one time a week and have a very surface level conversation with. That's not God's design. Let's think about it this way. Go to Genesis 2:18 in your mind, where God said he created Adam, created all the animals, all the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, land animal, everything. And he says, it is not good that man should be alone.
Amen.
We think that this applies to marriage, right? Because right after that is when he creates Eve, and then the two are made one flesh, and that all happens right there at the end of this. But it's how God designed us, that we need each other, not just marriage, but each other, in genuine relationship with each other. So this is not just a good idea. This is God's idea. It's God's idea for us to not be alone. We were created that way. Think of it this way. The car that you're in, when you came to church this morning, unless it was electric, and we don't talk about them. No, I'm just kidding. But the car that you came to church in this morning was created to have fuel. It would not work without the fuel or the battery. Okay? Your appliances at home, your refrigerator. Everybody was worried 2 weekends ago, right? Because ice comes, power goes out. What happens? You can't use anything because you don't have electricity.
Amen.
They're created to run off of electricity, fuel, electricity. This is how it is with God. Our Creator has created us in such a way that we need connection with each other and relationship with each other. And without that, we're never going to run like we were meant to run. We're never going to be the kind of people that we were supposed to be. So that's Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It is not good that man should be alone. He wants us to have fellowship, relationship with each other. Fast forward to Genesis chapter 12. God introduces the word tribe. That word gets repeated 445 times in the Bible. And I think that if God says something 445 times, then it's probably important for us to take note of. A tribe is a group of people who talk the same way and share the same beliefs. It's a group of people who love each other, care for each other, serve each other, and do life together. So while we see church as a place to attend on a Sunday morning, God sees church as a place to belong, as a tribe to be a part of. So we weren't meant to have church friends. We were meant to have brothers and sisters.
Amen.
People we do life with. But for that to happen and be true of us, I believe we have to overcome some roadblocks. We are in a day and time where we are more connected than ever before, but at the same time, more disconnected than ever before. We have this crazy need to stay connected. Always on the phone, calling people, texting people, checking social media, staying connected. Well, do you know this is going on? Do you know this is happening? And I'll tell you again, one of the best things you could ever do is just stop. Social media and phone and all that, just for at least for a little while. Fast from it or something. But we try to stay connected, but we don't want to be too connected. I want to view your life from a distance. I want to see what your Facebook version, your Instagram version of your life, right? But I don't want to know you and get to know you and see what's going on in your life. We want to have a relationship with people, but not too deep or involved. We want to talk to people, but not necessarily with people. We want to have church friends who we say hey to and check in with weekly on Sundays, but we don't want to have genuine friends who we go deep with. Why? Here are those roadblocks. Maybe we've been hurt in the past, and maybe it's even happened in church. I've been there,
amen.
Right? Where you trust somebody and you want to have accountability with this person and you're having a genuine relationship with them, and then as soon as you no longer can give them what they want, they cut you off. Or they take what you've trusted them with and tell it to somebody else. We don't want to let people in because then they will have that opportunity to hurt us again. And we're tired of being hurt. But think about Jesus for a minute. He had 12 disciples. Three of them were his closest disciples. One of his 12 sold him out for just a little bit of money. One of the three closest ones to him denied him three times. So Jesus knows how it feels to be betrayed, to have people that he was close to turn on him. So if that's what's keeping us from having the kind of relationships that God desires for us to have, then we need to seek help from God. We need to seek help from others to get through that emotion, that pain of having been hurt in the past, and get to the other side of it. It's not going to be easy, but it's something we need to do. Because our pain does not change God's plan for our life.
Amen.
which is to have genuine relationships with people who are part of our church, people who are part of our spiritual tribe, our spiritual family. And I know, trust me, I know that it's not going to be easy to trust someone again, to allow someone into our life beyond that shallow friendship, but we must work toward it. Another roadblock is that sometimes our personality type can make it difficult to connect with people.
Amen.
We could be introverted, or we could understand the need to network with people, but not have genuine relationships. This is why we attend the church, but we never belong. We never take the time to build the kind of relationships that God desires His people to have with one another. Well, I'm introverted, so I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to talk to anybody. God says that doesn't excuse us from having genuine relationships. Well, I see the need to network, but I don't really want to have that deep, genuine relationship with people. Again, our personality type, we are not excused from building community and connection with other believers in our spiritual family. But here's the other one that I think is the most pressing today, is that maybe we're too busy, or we don't want to take the time. We've got work, kids, grandkids, bills, family, marriage, house repairs, the list goes on and on and on. There's so much going on that we simply do not have the time to build community with other believers in our church family. I've heard it in the past that if we're too busy, then we are too busy. Meaning that we need to be less busy so that we have time to do the things that God has for us. So if our life is so packed with things that pull us away from God's plan for our life, then we need to adjust our life. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, show me by doing what I've told you." Jesus tells us to build community and to have these kinds of relationships, to not do that. Just like we said with giving. If we say, well, I obey in all these other areas, but I don't obey in giving, that's, you know, I worship these other ways, but not in this way, we're not obeying God, because we have to obey Him in all that He tells us to do.
Amen.
So if we're going to say that we worship God, but we don't build genuine relationships with people in our lives that are Christians, that are part of our tribe, our spiritual family, our church, then we are ignoring part of God's command. So part of what he says includes having genuine fellowship with one another, not simply attending church, but belonging, not simply showing up each week, but connecting with those in our church family in a real and authentic way. And I think it's time for us to take that step, because the church will thrive if we take that step. Look back at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 46, and you see the priorities of the people of the early church. They devoted themselves to God's word, the teaching of God's word, the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, being together, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They did signs and wonders through the apostles. They saw those things. They believed together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And then verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So yes, they met in the church, but they also met in their homes. They got together on times other than church time. And when we look at that, we realize that the disciples of the early church, in the early church, made the priorities of Jesus their priorities. These were things that God wanted them to do, so they did it. So when we look at this description of the early church, it screams the heart of Jesus. This is what He wants from His people. He wants His church, His children, to be in genuine and authentic relationships with each other. Not to just attend a building on a Sunday morning, but to belong together. doing life with each other, loving each other, building each other up. And this goes way past the Sunday fellowship that we have for a few minutes each week. So what's your next step? What does this mean for you and your life? Well, last week we talked about the importance of Sunday worship, right? We talked about it on a Friday, but we talked about it, right? The fact that we attend church and we need to quit stopping by, but be committed to being at church. Now we're moving deeper. We're not going into just Sunday school and Wednesday prayer gatherings and men's ministry and women's ministry and all of those other things we offer. That was last week. We're attending what the church offers, right? That's what we need to do. We need to be committed to that. But this week, we're taking it a step further. Check on somebody.
Amen.
Take them to lunch. Invite them over to your house for supper. Go somewhere with them. I don't know. I don't go anywhere. I stay here. But if you want to go somewhere with them. If you both like golf, go golfing or fishing or hunting or whatever it is that you want to do, that you like to do and they like to do. You won't know that unless you get to know them. You get to know them, you might see that y'all have stuff in common and y'all can go do things together and spend time together and live life together. It's time to dive into that kind of relationship, to adjust your schedule, to rearrange your priorities and begin to follow Christ in a deeper way by connecting with other believers in the church more than through what is just offered in this building. Do life with them. Build relationships with them. Get connected. Follow the model of the first church in Acts chapter 2. And most importantly, follow the heart of Jesus.
Amen.
The church was never meant to be a weekly event. We've made it that. It was meant to be a body of believers loving each other, caring for each other, serving each other, and changing the world with each other. As verse 46 says, day by day. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to start having worship service every day. What it means is that we need to be the church every day.
Amen.
And I love how God works stuff out. Because he laid on my heart for the online Bible study, Everyday Church. And he laid on my heart for preaching this Quit Church series. And I don't know if you've watched those online Bible studies, but they go hand in hand with what we have looked at over these first 6 weeks. We are to be the church day in and day out. This will help you with your spiritual growth. It'll bring accountability, which is something that we all need. Somebody in our life who knows us, who knows the deepest, darkest parts of who we are, that can call that stuff out, that can say something about that. It will provide us with a source of strength during difficult times. Who's the first person that you're going to call when something happens in your life that you need prayer for? Or you need something, that God's got something going on in your life and it's crazy, you don't know what to do, who are you going to call? That first person is going to be that person that you have reached out to, that you have built this relationship with, that brings all of that to your life. That's what we're to be as a church, right? Of course, we want to grow, we want to reach others. But we need to have a place that provides the intimacy and closeness to one another that God desires for us to have. We're not a Sunday morning church, we're an everyday church.
Amen.
And when you decide to step out of your comfort zone and get connected, you are helping to set a healthy, life-giving, and God-honoring culture that others will want to follow. When they see the church being the church that they're supposed to be, guess what? That's what's going to attract people here. That's what's going to have people come and want to be a part of what God is doing here. In other words, the church is going to thrive. So find a way to get connected beyond Sunday morning and dive in. Don't make excuses. We're all busy, right? We have plenty going on. But I've noticed something about people in the 20 years that I've been in ministry. People make time for what they want to make time for. and to Jesus, building relationships with your church family is important. So it should be important to us. So get connected. Build relationship. Do life with those in your church. Now, it may be out of your comfort zone at first, and quite honestly, it might start out as a bit of a hassle, right? Because we're used to doing life on our own. We're used to being on our own. But I'm completely confident that in the end, you will be glad that you did what God has asked us to do. So make that commitment today to quit your church friends and start having genuine relationships, being the church day by day. If you're not a Christian, the good news this morning is that you can come to Him for salvation to be a part of this family. This family that God has brought together. The Bible says that because of your sin, you are spiritually dead, separated from God. But Jesus came. I love Ephesians chapter 2, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, that we were spiritually dead in our sin, that we were controlled by the world, Satan, and our sinful nature, that there was nothing that we could do to come out of this. We were a condemned, controlled corpse. But verse 4 says, but God. Who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive in Christ Jesus. And the way that He did that was because Jesus came and did what we could not do, lived a sinless life, and He died on a cross, paying the penalty for our sin. So when we come to Him, as the Bible says, confessing that He is Lord and believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, what we are saying to God is, there's no way that I can save myself, but I believe in Jesus and what He has done for me. And what He has done for me is that He has lived the life I could not live, and now has substituted that in the place of mine, and that my sin is paid for because of what He did on the cross, paid in full. And He rose from the dead and now is at the right hand of the Father, the one who has ruled over death and sin and all that that comes along with that. I stand in Him. And because of Him, because of Jesus, we can have a relationship with God. So if you have not called out to Jesus for salvation this morning, that is my prayer. My desire for you is to call out to Him and be saved this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to this time where we have an opportunity to respond to what we've seen in Your Word, God, I pray that maybe there's somebody here who needs to respond to this series as a whole, God, that they have viewed church as just a routine, as something that we do on Sunday mornings. And they come and they check that box, and that's good and that's fine and I'm done. But Lord, that they realize that they're still here. You still have them here. And since they're here, there's a reason. There's something for them to do. There's something for them to be a part of. That they're not just a peripheral part of this, but they're part of our body, our spiritual tribe that we have here at Bienvenue. And God, I pray that they would come and be a part of that, commit to being a part of that. Lord, for those who are on the outside, Lord, maybe thinking about joining the church but haven't yet, I pray that they would realize their need to be connected to a local body of believers, and that they would come and be a part of what You're doing here at Bienvenue. We thank You for them. But God, I just pray that we would be there, we could be their church. God, I pray that You would be with those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray that You would save them. Lord, I know that You are the one who reaps. And so, God, as Your word has been preached, as the gospel has been proclaimed here at the end of this message, I pray that You would reap their soul, God, that You would work in their heart and save them before they leave this place today. And Lord, if there is any other need, I pray that people would respond in obedience to You. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.